Lord, I thank you so much for giving us a house to come to. You've given us a people to talk with, given us a Bible to interact with, we just read. Thank you for giving us a Jesus that saves us. And let this night be about glorifying his name. You have done so much work in us, Lord, and there's so much more to do. And let us point the way to you like a laser beam pointing at the moon, that Jesus is glorified in all that is said tonight. In your name, amen. I'm a believer in Christ. I've been healed from pornography and alcoholism. I'm on the road to healing over anger, which stems from pride and control, which spins off into anxiety. My name is Bob. Hey, everybody. I grew up in a non-Christian household. I can remember hearing the name of Jesus mentioned once or twice by my parents, but it was kind of an abstract sense of as an option to another world religion. Pick one. There were lots of drugs in the house and many drug users that would come and go. My father's emotions would vary widely, and he was physically abusive to my mother and to me. I felt the only way I could survive in the home was to constantly monitor my father's emotional state. My mother would deal with the situation by numbing her senses with drug use, and our home was filled with anxiety, it was filled with tension, and plenty of self-medication. Under no circumstances were we to ever talk to anyone else about what was going on in the home, even to each other. As I grew up, I went through my days feeling as if my life was constantly in danger all of the time, everywhere I went, and so I constantly evaluated my environment and those around me. I also started to display anger issues of my own, which I would not face because I believed I needed to spend my energy attempting to control my surroundings. By the time I was 15, I was beginning to break down emotionally and mentally from all the stress of living life this way. I chose, and I know that I chose this of my own free will, to seek escape in the form of pornography. I didn't understand at the time the danger I was putting myself into by simply breaking the first commandment. Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me," says the Lord. By the time I was 16, my pornography habit was a daily occurrence. I was in full idolatry mode. After graduating from high school and heading off to college, my anger outbursts coupled with my pornography addiction was crippling my ability to have meaningful relationships with most people that were in my life. However, by the grace of God, which I didn't understand at the time, I had a small group of friends that put up with my annex and showed me unconditional love. Two of them are here, Fred and Mike over there. Been with me since 6th and 7th grade. While in college, my parents got divorced. This set off a whole series of things coming spilling out of our family that we never talked about. Things were out wide open. I was no longer getting relief from pornography, and instead of my stress levels, they were just shooting up. And my anger was at its peak. I then decided to make another series of poor choices. I decided I was going to begin drinking alcohol. I decided I was going to do this for the express purpose of numbing my pain. I sought relationships with women for the sole purpose of sexual encounters. And eventually my drinking turned into full-fledged alcoholism, and my intent of numbing my pain changed to causing myself physical harm to myself. Again, the grace of God showed up in my life during this time, and he put a small group of friends in my life that were watching the worst of me and yet showed me love and kindness. And Ben is here, one of my friends from that time. I've known him since I was about 24. It's about 20 years. After graduating from college, I took a job in the DFW area. My thought was this: work would cure all of my issues. Everything would be cured. But instead, I found that things got a lot harder as the complexities of a job began to add to my stress pile. I had stopped drinking at this point, not because I wanted to stop drinking, but because I was in so much physical pain from the alcohol abuse. I was in a mess. And God, in this mess, sent me three men, all at random, up at work, independent of each other, unaware of what the other was doing. And all they did was share basic facts of what a Christian church was like on the inside. Songs, pews, teaching out of the Bible. I was stunned. I called a longtime friend, Freddie here. He was the only person I knew that ever really talked to me about Jesus or the church. And I just shared with him, "Hey, look, man, this is what's going on. What do I do with this? I'm confused." And he challenged me. He invited me to come to church with him and come find my answers. So that Sunday we went. The pastor came out. He shared the gospel in his sermon. And it was the first time I ever heard the gospel of what Jesus had done for the whole world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I learned that there was a holy God with a holy judgment and a holy wrath that needed to be satisfied, that I could not meet those requirements because I was a sinner. I learned that God had a holy grace and a holy mercy as well, and that he had sent Jesus to die for my sins and satisfy his judgment and his wrath. I learned that joy in Jesus was because of resurrection from the dead into a perfect body, and that if I followed him in my heart and I confessed with my mouth that he was Lord, then Jesus would resurrect my dead life. I did so gladly and willingly. I was filled with joy. Instantly, my life began to change for the better. As I studied God's word and interacted with the body of Christ, my stress levels went down. But I really didn't understand what a daily walk with Jesus looked like, as I like to describe it. I kind of hung out at the gates of salvation. I never went forward. I didn't understand how accountability with other Christian men who were sold out to Christ was beneficial to my growth. I stopped and just kind of sort of gained head knowledge at that point. I was not walking the narrow path that Jesus invites us to walk. The pornography was still present in my life, and I was still having times of anger, but they were much less than they were before. I was not drinking alcohol, but that was only because of previous physical pain. I hadn't actually surrendered it to Christ. All of these issues were still piling up, although the severity was less. They were still ticking in the background like a bomb. I hadn't confessed any of these issues to another person, and subsequently I had not been healed from them. At this time, I ended up meeting my lovely wife, Marie, at church, and we got married. And in that process, I brought all of these unresolved issues into the marriage. This caused tension and distance between us. We had our first child, our daughter, who's mildly autistic. And along with those stresses, my pornography just ramped back up. I chose to run to an idol rather than the Lord. I kept turning to it for relief rather than turning to Christ. And that's when I found my life verse, Proverbs 26:11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Like I said before, God is good, and what he did was great. He exposed my pornography to my wife. It forced me to make a decision at that point: seek healing from Christ or lose my family. That started my journey of recovery. At that point, I didn't know what to do, so I called Mike. During this time, Mike had spent about a year trying to convince me, hey, hands and feet of Jesus Christ are waiting for you, man. Come hear what these people at recovery have to say about that. So I called him, shared with him what was going on. He said, come. So I went. He invited me in a way that I needed at that time. I was sorely in bad shape. I was out of control. My mind was cracking. I was nervous and anxious to the hilt. I felt like I couldn't even sit in my chair. And God had Mike there for me. And he just kind of led me through that way. And so if a friend brought you here tonight, I want you to know that that's provision from Christ. I began to share that first night. I didn't know really what I was doing. And my night of newcomers did not go well. So for those of you that are new, I want you to know it's okay not to know what you're doing. I want you to know it's okay that it doesn't go well. There are people here who will set up an environment to love you and point you back to Christ. And I want you to know it's okay to share, even if you feel like you're out of control. At the time, my anger was overwhelming me. I felt physically threatened by the room and the people. But God in his sovereignty just kept using Mike's presence just to remind me, hey, I'm your God. I've got this. This is a safe place. I want you to know, as you're surrounded here by people that love you, by the leaders that are here, you're also surrounded by a church that loves you. If you're new here, even if you don't go to this church loves you. I want you to know that this environment is a safe place for you to process through your pain. Save for one reason, because of what the Bible says, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We take that seriously here. We're going to do everything we can to help you see peace and not see fear. Even though my first night was hard, I kept coming back, and I began to learn what it means to be a man of God. I learned how to be authentic with others, how to listen to others, how to pray for others, how to study my Bible, how to trust Christ, that he's enough for my life. I learned that God's design for community is for us to engage with one another, hold each other accountable. I thought I had to come to recovery for pornography, but what I learned while I was here, that I really had an anger and control issue. Pornography and alcohol abuse were merely symptoms of worshiping at the idols of anger and control. In step three, trust, I learned that I learned that I could lean on Christ's plan for my life rather than running to my idols. I could surrender my struggles to Jesus. Sometimes I had to do this on a 5-minute by 5-minute basis, knowing that I could depend on Jesus' grace to get me through. In chapter 6 of John, a boy gives Jesus all the food he has. He gives him 5 loaves and 2 fish. He gave Jesus everything he had. From that, Jesus made food for over 5,000 people, and he had leftovers. So now here's your question. What do you think Christ would do for you if you gave him all the hurts you have? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Step 5, confess. I learned that confession is what? It's a gift from God. It's not a harm. It's a gift. It feels hard, but it's a gift. While confession is difficult to do at first, it is extremely beneficial to a life of peace. Through confession, I found my shame over my struggles were completely eradicated. Confession of my sins obliterated the enemy's ability to kick me while I was down, and practical biblical confession often helped cure what was ailing me. It'll cure what's ailing you too. 1 John 1:9, we read it today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's true. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You will find righteous people here that will pray with you, and that prayer will be heard by the Lord and it will be powerful. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will attain mercy. As I moved through my recovery, Jesus was very active in the rest of my life. My marriage was beginning to be healed. My wife saw changes that Christ was making in my heart. My community group rallied around my family, encouraged and prayed for us. My parents each stopped using drugs independent of each other. And as they sobered up, they each sought forgiveness from me and reconciliation for the harms done. I shared the gospel with my mother and my father, and I saw their lives changed by Christ. Early in my recovery journey, my wife and I, we had our first test. You will be tested too as you're recovering, if you haven't been already. We had our first miscarriage. When we found out at the doctor's office, I felt extreme sorrow and pain. I felt like my sanity was leaving me, and I felt like it was breathtaking and it was quick. I knew my feelings were teetering on a dangerous ledge, and in that moment, Jesus showed up. I didn't hear a voice in my head, but I did have a thought come to my mind that I knew wasn't my own, and the thought went something like this. You can choose right now to explode in anger, or you can surrender this moment to me and all of your anguish and do what it is that I tell you to do. Christ had shown me through my recovery at that point in my life that life is not found outside of him. I knew what awaited me at the idol of anger because I've been doing it for 30 years. In that moment, I chose Christ, not because of some resolve of strength on my part, some kind of white knuckling or something, but because the grace of the gospel I had seen during my recovery and others that were around me and in my own life. Jesus had given me a group of guys that would process through this pain with me. They would pray for me. They would point me back to Christ as a source of my joy. My wife and I were able to share this grief with our community. I was able to let my mom and my dad into this grief sharing, which is something I would never have done before. Do you see the touches there? Do you see how many people God brought in that picture when I'm not by myself alone with the idols? That's the roadmap. Later on in our recovery, we had a second miscarriage. This was still painful, still sorrowful. It wasn't as quick and as breathtaking, but I would say it wasn't any easier. I could tell the grief process was different though. I knew that Christ had brought me further down the road of maturity and that I was able to process my feelings quicker with my small group, with my community group, with my wife. I can only imagine the mess I would have made of things if these miscarriages happened before I'd been in recovery. And for that, I know God is good. This was a great test during my recovery, a great struggle, which I had not anticipated was coming. But nevertheless, God had prepared me for anyway. I could have chosen to stop coming here. Too hard. You heard James say, it's hard. There's parts of it that aren't easy. I could have chose to think, hey, I don't need recovery anymore. Or recovery's not worth my time. Or, hey, it's just not working. Or I could have thought, God's just, it's not his will for me. Or I could have thought, well, you know what? Life is just too hard right now. I got too much going on. But I chose to keep coming for two reasons. One, God had made it clear to me that I needed other Jesus-following men in my life to pray for me. I had seen it happen right in front of me, miracles. Two, these men that he brought to me, they were gritty for Jesus. They weren't just any men of God. They were gritty men of God. Old Testament men of God, running with David. Hungry for the gospel, willing to war, to go to war for their sins. Make war on their sins. Think about what that means. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. We just read that. We're reading it again because it's that important. It takes other people. Another thing God had showed me and it made clear to me is that my obedience to his word in my life was affecting those around me in powerful ways. Romans 14:13, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Now here's the backside. But rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So the question I had to ask myself while I thought things were too hard and I didn't want to come was this. Was rejecting my responsibility of consistent corporate worship of the Lord a stumbling block or a hindrance to those watching my life? How about you? You debating coming back? You debating trusting God? Believe his plan is best for you and keep coming back. There's a man over there getting training. James talked about some of our leaders are training. Man's name's Rick. He's going to be doing your newcomers training, leading your newcomers. And he has said over and over and over again, the days that he thought about not coming, those are the days that God showed him the most or used him to impact somebody else's life. That's going to happen to you. Keep coming. My current recovery in Christ. So once I completed the 12 steps, it was clear to my wife, to my community group, and to me that Christ's plan for my life was to serve and regen. It's a blessing to point others back to the love of Christ, and I'm reminded every time I'm here of the awe and majesty of the God we serve. That's why I keep coming back. I need that reminder. He is awe and wonder. It has been my humble pleasure to serve in newcomers and to serve in the AV area. My wife and I were also blessed with a son. He had some health issues early on, but we were able to take our fears directly to the Lord. He led us through that storm using our community group to encourage us. My marriage has continued to grow in peace and love. I still make plenty of mistakes with my wife, but I'm quicker now to admit my shortcomings, seek forgiveness, and move to reconciliation. I'm modeling what it means to be a godly man for my kids, and I'm so thankful to Christ that I get a chance to do so. I learned that here. Since recovery, I've been blessed by the Lord to have opportunities to help others to resolve conflict in a God-honoring way, and this is not easy. Not easy. Conflict is messy and ugly every single time. But I always know where to start with step one, admit. We admit we are powerless over our addictions, brokenness, and sinful patterns, that in our own power, our lives are unmanageable. Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is good, but not the ability to carry it out. That's where reconciliation to conflict starts, realizing that. In some cases, during conflict resolution, we were able to move on from there and into the healing arms of Jesus Christ. In other cases, we haven't made it out of step one. There's no admittance. This leaves the situation tense. It leaves it unresolved, but God has been faithful through the process. So I know I can turn to him with my feelings instead of my idols. I also know that Jesus is bigger than any conflict we have. I know that when he breaks down hardened hearts and he turns them into softened hearts that are ready to trust him, what's my role in that? I know what it is. He showed me here. Be available to walk with them in love through confession, repentance, and finally into restoration. This is the role that Christ wants for all of us in this room, all of us in this church. Why? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's you. Understanding my role removes the power of my idols to distract me now from God's truth. Humility defeats pride. That's something I struggle with. Surrender defeats anxiety. I'm confident Jesus will bring peace to any unresolved issues that I'm trying to just point back to Christ on. Why am I confident? Because of the gospel. Because Jesus died for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. 14 years ago, he rose me from the dead, spiritually dead. If the dead don't rise, then what's the point of a testimony? What's the point of worshiping God, right? The very fact that we're here right now, corporately worshiping the Lord through song, through prayer, through testimony, through obedience to his word, through the public reading of scripture, proves that God brings restoration. If you are struggling tonight with trusting God, have no fear. Bible says that all the time. I love that. Have no fear. You're in a safe place. You're surrounded by brothers and sisters that are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Christ. You are a dearly loved son or daughter of the Lord Almighty, and we recognize that, and we want to help you. I can stand here before you, and I can confidently tell you that through the power of Christ alone, gone is pornography from my life, gone is abuse of alcohol from my life, because I finally surrendered it to him. I'm still on the road to recovery, though, over anger and control. But Christ has been wonderful in that, too. In the last 2 years, he's brought me significant improvement in this area. Through men here, he has shown me things I hadn't seen before. He has shown me that my anger comes from pride and that my control issues lead to severe anxiety, both places that distract me from the work of God. I'm blessed to know these things because now I can be on the lookout for these kinds of triggers, and so can my family, and so can my community group, and now so can you as I'm sharing it with you. When you see me walking around and you ask me, how's it going? And you hear, oh, it's going good. That's your chance to jump in and say, no, tell me how you're really feeling. I need you. I heard it once said that all throughout the Bible, there are stories showing that God has built his church on the backs of broken people who were radically changed by Christ and put their shoulders to the plow. Because of Christ's miraculous healing in my life, I want that to be my motivation to work hard, not because I want to look good. I want to join my other brothers and sisters in Christ here in putting our shoulders to the plow in unity to our great high priest. You cannot heal yourself alone. Every time Jesus did a healing in the Bible, it was always with community. He never healed someone in isolation and left them in isolation. He always brought people out of isolation to heal them and then send them out to spread the good news of the gospel to others. So stay plugged in. Keep coming every chance you get. Conclusion. If I can leave you with one thing tonight, it's this. If you know Jesus Christ, then he has already invited you to join him in the abundant and joy-filled life. You are here for a reason. That is a spiritual Christ appointment that has been brought into your life. Take it seriously. He is ready to heal you. Go to him. It's okay to be hurting. God is not mad at you for hurting. Having feelings is okay. I have a lot of them. But your feelings aren't your problem. Your problem is open rebellion against God's will. The cure to your problem is gospel. Trust Jesus. Embrace joy. Hey, welcome home. Lord, thank you so much for letting me be here with these beautiful brothers and sisters in Christ today. They encourage me to walk according to your will, to see them here. There's no need for me to have any other proof. Is Jesus real? Well, come in here. Look at this room. Look at these people. Jesus is real. They are here of your power and your accord. They are here to lean on your reputation for healing, and I am amazed at you, God. Please, wherever they are, wherever they're struggling, meet them. Let them keep coming back. In your name, amen.